Hello, once again. I trust that the Lord has blessed you as richly as He has me. It is certainly a great blessing to be a child of God and serving in His kingdom. This month is a continuation of last month's sermon, Satan in the 20th Century. If you have your booklet in front of you, we will begin. Humanism, New Age Religion. Has Satan damaged the relationship between you and your spouse or you and your children? How about your relationship with God? Are you the Christian you know you should be? Are you excited about being a Christian? Is your spiritual life your number one priority in your daily routine? Do you have a strong drive and burning desire to be as effective for the Lord as you possibly can? Have you and I let Satan numb the excitement of Christianity and cause us to be unproductive and ineffective in the Lord's vineyard? Have we become so involved in our daily routines that we fail in meeting the responsibilities that the Lord gave us, such as being good husbands or wives or parents? Do you have a tendency to think of yourself more than the rest of your family? These are all serious and tough questions. They are questions that none of us really like to think about or face. If you look around you in the world and even the church, you will see that Satan has accomplished most of these goals already. Where does Satan plan to go from here? What does he have in store for us in the future? Each of us must ask ourselves these and other questions and answer them honestly, and then take the appropriate action depending on our conclusions. Satan wants full control of the world and destruction of Christ's church before he is destroyed. About a year ago, I asked myself the question, how has Satan accomplished all this? How has he been able to so completely saturate the world with his doctrines and corruptness? To my knowledge, no corner of the world has gone unaffected by Satan's influence. How has he done it? These questions caused me to do much research and study on what is going on in America today. I have learned many alarming and chilling facts. This month, I want to share some of these with you. Most of you have probably heard of humanism, but do you really understand what it is and what it stands for? I didn't until I did much research and study on it. I believe it is the master plan with which Satan intends to accomplish his goals in the world today. I discussed the immorality, drugs, Satan worshippers, and several other of Satan's tools last month, but it's amazing how Satan was able to bring all these things into reality. It did not happen overnight, and it was not done openly, but subtly and slowly until the momentum has built to the point of explosion. Satan's move in the form of humanism has built momentum to the critical point of complete destruction. I will attempt to relate to you what humanism is, how it is affecting us today, and what will happen if we as Christians continue to stand by and neglect to take aggressive action to defeat this doctrine. We can compare America to Sodom and Gomorrah in some ways. Sodom and Gomorrah, in one sense, was not destroyed because of the wickedness of the Sodomites. They were destroyed because of the lack of righteous people. God promised to save the cities for the sake of only 10 righteous people. Our Lord taught that Christians are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. There are severe consequences if we become ineffective. Ineffective Christians are good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Matthew 5:13. Ineffective Christians deny the world of much needed light. You are the light of the world. It gives light to all who are in the house. Matthew 5:14-15. Whenever God's people turn from His truth and become ineffective, He chastens them by raising up a heathen power to rule over them. In our day, God has allowed humanism to be raised up to oppress us as Christians because we have turned from His ways. I am speaking of the world in general. I know there are some Christians who are working hard for God, but there are many who have become ineffective and concentrate more on secular interest than on promoting Christianity. We are taught in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. There are many kinds of humanism, religious humanism, sexual humanism, educational humanism, etc. But humanism in any form is human against deity. It is man versus God. Usually it is a dressed up form of atheism. Some who propose humanism attempt to equate humanism to biblical principles. But in truth, it must be concluded that humanism and the Bible are not compatible. In fact, it is the Bible versus humanism. The World Book Encyclopedia states, "The center of reference became man rather than God. This new attitude is properly defined as humanism." The Dictionary of Philosophy defines humanism as a 20th century philosophy that rejects belief in all forms of the supernatural, that considers the greater good of all humanity on this earth as the supreme ethical goal, and that relies on the methods of reason, science, and democracy for the salvation of human problems. The Humanist Manifesto, too, boldly states, "We find insufficient evidence for belief in the existence of a supernatural. It is either meaningless or irrelevant to the question of the survival and fulfillment of the human race as non-theist. We begin with humans, not God, nature, not deity." It is plain to see that humanism has had a great influence directly and indirectly on religion. Think about the fact that even modern-day religions are so characterized by the human thought that religion may teach and practice what pleases the religious community, human beings, regardless of what God says in the Bible. According to humanism, God is not the authority. Man is. Man, therefore, may choose or manufacture his own brand of religion, regardless of what the Bible says. If it seems good to man, it should please God. Humanism says that all conflicting bodies of religion are acceptable and right. Even the Bible condemns religious division, as you can read in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, and other related scriptures. The present wave of humanism swept through the last half of the 19th century and flooded the 20th century. Darwin's Origin of the Species, advocating organic evolution in 1859, has become the Bible for humanism. Then the thrust of the worldwide Marxian communism added the military and political power to humanism, combined with Darwin's theory of atheistic evolution, to make constant attacks against God, the Bible, and all the absolute spiritual and moral values of New Testament Christianity. The humanistic atheistic document, Humanist Manifesto 1, signed by a group of educators, philosophers, and liberal theologians in 1933, was an aggressive step to take control of the mind of man and make him think he is God of his own life. John Dewey was among the signers. He is an avowed socialist and has perhaps had greater and more detrimental influence on American education than any other modern citizen of our country. His advocacy of permissiveness has had an unreal, destructive effect on our modern society. Today, our schools and our society are reaping a regrettable harvest of Darwinism, Deweyism, and humanism. Discipline and morals have become a laughing mockery of our times. The Manifesto of 1933 was a bold affirmation of pride and arrogance. Listen as I read the declarations of humanism. The first time I read these statements, cold chills went up and down my spine. Number one, the eternity of all matter of the universe has always been here. There was no creator, therefore no beginning, as the Bible declared in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Number two, man was not a created being, but came about through the process of evolution. This, of course, denies the affirmations of Genesis and repudiates the teachings of the Son of God revealed in Matthew 19, 4 through 5. Number three, religion was social involvement without divine planning or involvement. God in no way affected or affected religion because there is no God. Number four, there is no infallible guide, no authoritative standards or rules, which of course means that the faith of Christians, as set forth in the Bible, is a myth. Number five, there is no good in the being called God. This is a blasphemy of deity and places man above God. Number six, there is neither objective good nor objective evil. Therefore, man is his own God, and whatever he does is neither good or bad, except as he may decide the matter himself. Number seven, heaven and hell are not real, therefore no motive for living a pure, moral, and spiritual life, now or for eternity. Man has only the here and now. Number eight, science is man's real savior, therefore the teaching that Jesus Christ came into this world to save the lost, as stated in Matthew 1:21, is a fraud or a myth. Number nine, worship and prayers are empty exercises and a waste of time. Number 10, all religious institutions must be changed, modified, and restructured to suit man's own humanistic, fanciful ideologies. Number 11, there is no religion or divine origin. Therefore, Christianity is nothing more than man-made religion, empty and worthless, no better or worse than any of the so-called religions like the Muslims, the Hindu, etc. Number 12, man possesses no soul. He is only matter, uncreated, in motion, which of course means that man was not created by God as a dual creature, possessing body and soul. When a man dies, therefore, and humanism does admit that he dies all over, like the dog Rover. It is all over. Number 13, humanism denies God and man's responsibility to God. Therefore, man is his own God, seeking to reach his own potentials and aspirations. Humanist Manifesto 2 states, "We affirm that moral values derive their source from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational, needing no theological or ideological sanction." Humanism is an absolute contradiction of New Testament Christianity. Yet the mistaken want to identify humanism with Christianity in name. We must be aware of this deceitful work of Satan. Humanism is pride and self-esteem. It has modern appeal to our modern society. Yet it is as old as humanity itself. Pride was one of the sins contributing to the fall of Eve and the enticement of her husband Adam. Proverbs 16:18 tells us, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The Apostle Paul also tells us in 1 Timothy 3:6 that pride and condemnation are associated with the devil. Pride has always been the downfall of cities and nations, as the example of Tyre and Ezekiel 28:1-2. The king of Tyre had lifted up his heart and made himself equal to God. The very foundation of humanism is man's heart against God's heart, man's ways and thoughts against God's thoughts and ways. Too many people have forgotten what God said in Isaiah 55:8 through 9. I quote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." With that one thought, man is nothing compared to God. Humanism is brought down to the dirt of the earth, while God is exalted to the highest heavens above. That places humanism on a very low level, actually lower than man himself. The Humanist Manifesto of 1973 was a reaffirmation of the atheistic propositions of the 1933 Manifesto, except with different signatures and a new cloak of credibility among the skeptics, liberals, agnostics, and infidels. This brand of humanism was designed to deceive and mislead the spiritually weak and uninformed on Bible subjects like creation, inspiration, deity, and divine authority. They declare that religion and faith in God are harmful, injurious, and a disservice to humanity. Would you want to live in a world where all of its population does not believe in God, does not believe in heaven or hell? Would you want to live in a world where there is no Bible, where there is no church, where there is no hope of salvation from sin and no hope of heaven? That is the world humanism would have you live in. That is the infidelic legacy and cruel heritage that humanism wants to pass on to you, your children, and all unborn generations. They say if you disbelieve in God and reject the idea of heaven and hell, you are a wholesome influence in the world for a while. Then you die, and that is the end. Just go back to the dust to rot and decay. They would have you believe there is nothing, absolutely nothing, after death. The humanist denies that man has a soul. He denies that man's soul returns to God, the giver of life, at death, like the Bible declares in Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. This, of course, makes God the Father, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the apostles all liars and imposters. They affirm that science has proven evolution to be true, in spite of the fact that many great scientists, without reservation, deny the theory of evolution, declaring that evolution is a theory and not a scientific fact. The God humanism is man and his scientific perfection. A great influence is being made by the modern proponents of humanism upon our permissive society, all of whom do not necessarily subscribe to humanism per se, but follow in its purposely drawn path of free thought and action in all areas of indulgences to satisfy the lust and vainglory of man. Today it seems to make little difference about the character of ungodly men and women in high places, in government, in show business, and the entertainment profession. If they have attained a degree of success or popularity, they may be idolized and worshipped, even though they may be known to be immoral, ungodly, drunkards, dope addicts, sex perverts, etc. For example, many times in the news we see rock stars being arrested and charged with possessing drugs, but that makes little difference with the thousands of fans who rush to their rock band performances which appeal to the lust of the flesh. America is being brainwashed with permissiveness, a vital flow of humanism. It must be concluded that this humanist manifesto denies and repudiates the Bible, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It denies the principles and benefits of New Testament Christianity. Humanism is an attack on the Church of the Living God. It is an attack on every man's faith who accepts the Bible as God's divine revealed will. Humanism must be exposed for what it really is. God has allowed humanism to gain supremacy in our country because we have abandoned God-given responsibilities. Each responsibility that we have surrendered has been seized by the humanists, who are now using them against us. We have sinned because, number one, we have not accepted our responsibility to protect our sons and daughters from humanistic indoctrination. Number two, we have turned over the spiritual leadership of our families to our wives. Number three, we have put our jobs ahead of family needs. Number four, we have encouraged our wives to work outside of the home. Five, we have separated our children from the influence of their grandparents. Six, we have been overcome by lust and sensual habits. 7. We have damaged our marriages and have accepted the error of divorce and remarriage. 8. We have expected our children to make life's major decisions without adequate counsel or preparation. The influence of the world is amazingly subtle but very effective. It causes the love of Christians to slowly cool toward the Lord as they gradually conform to the ways of the world. I want to discuss some of the ways we have failed to keep God's laws and how the humanists have caused a severe deterioration of America's three basic institutions, the home, the church, and the government. First, I want to talk about abortion. Not too many years ago, abortion was rare, but today it is commonplace. What a mockery of human life. When we reject the way God made us and believe that our happiness is hindered because of some physical defect, we accept the delusion of humanism which justifies abortion. Humanists say the world is becoming overpopulated, therefore abortion is necessary, as well as sterilization, infanticide, euthanasia. However, this is totally contrary to the facts. Actually, the world is comparatively empty. There are 52.5 million square miles of land area in the world, not including Antarctica. If all the people in the world were brought together into one place, they could stand without touching anyone else in less than 200 square miles. The world population is 4.5 billion people. By allowing an average of 2.6 square feet for each person, from babies to adults, every person in the world could stand shoulder to shoulder in just one half of the city of Jacksonville, Florida. The Lord told man to populate and fill up the earth. As you can see, this has not even come close to being done. The Bible makes it very clear that an unborn child possesses genuine human life. Jesus Christ made the transition to earth at the point of conception, not birth. It was in the womb that he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:5-8. When John the Baptist was yet in his mother's womb, he leaped for the joy at the salutation of Mary when she was carrying Jesus. Luke 1:41-44. Jacob and Esau began their conflict with each other in the womb, causing their mother concern. Genesis 25:22-23. Scripture also teaches that the penalty of Adam's sin is passed on to us at conception, not at birth. Psalms 51:5, and I quote, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me," unquote. Based on this alone, the sixth commandment applies directly to abortion, "Thou shalt not kill." Over 55 million innocent babies have been aborted, murdered, in the last 10 years worldwide. What a terrible sin in the eyes of God. Next, I want to look at the women's rights movement. When we resent the authority which God placed over us and demonstrate a spirit of willfulness, we accept the delusion of humanism which promotes rebellion through equal rights. There are two main feminist organizations, the National Organization for Women and Evangelical Women's Caucus. The latter claims to be biblical feminist. They advocate ordination of women and distribution of feminist books in churches. These two groups are closely tied together in their goals and beliefs. They are both for free sexual expression, even to the extent of lesbianism. They do not want equal rights for women, but a separate existence from men. They believe God is a woman. They advocate homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle, group sex, premarital sex, and promote abortion. The marriage law that God established in Genesis has become a mockery today. Divorce and remarriage has become commonplace in America today. One out of two marriages fail today. When we allow bitterness to damage the spirit of marriage, and when we believe that without love marriage cannot survive, we accept the delusion of humanism which leads to divorce and remarriage. Divorce and remarriage is another step in the complete breakdown of the home. Split homes are causing extreme damage to the children involved, and the results are rebellion, violence, crime, depression, and suicide. This leads me into the sexual revolution going on today in our great country. When we neglect to engraft Scripture into our soul, and when we allow sensual thoughts or actions to control our life, we accept the delusion of humanism which produces moral perversion. Venereal disease is running wild across the country. Years ago, the fear of contracting syphilis or gonorrhea from promiscuous relationships was a deterrent to immorality. When penicillin was discovered to cure these diseases, a new sexual freedom was encouraged. However, God will not be mocked. If man finds a remedy for the immediate physical consequences of one sin, God will bring judgment in greater and more devastating ways. Medical researchers now admit their defeat in their war against venereal diseases, because for every cure that is discovered, new and more lethal strains of drug-resistant infections develop. For example, present estimates are that over 20 million Americans are afflicted by herpes 2. This disease does not respond to penicillin treatment, and it has devastating physical and psychological consequences. God promised to bring a special judgment to those who practice sodomy. I quote the Apostle Paul, "who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due." Unquote. Romans 1:25-27. Today the AIDS virus has the whole country in fear. This disease takes harmless germs and turns them into a swift, deadly virus among homosexuals. But this disease is now affecting many innocent people as well, through blood transfusions and other ways. We don't know yet how severe and great the threat of AIDS will be, but there is certainly good reason to be concerned. Suicide is increasing drastically year by year, especially among the teenagers. We must ask ourselves why. When we do not accept God's purposes for our life or yield the members of our body as instruments of righteousness for His kingdom, we accept the delusion of humanism which ends in suicide. The humanists also advocate euthanasia or mercy killings. They believe if a person is sick or old or to the point that he can no longer contribute to the well-being of mankind, it is time for him to die and not waste useful space. The humanists are very serious about their goals, and they have very definite plans for reaching them. John Dewey had a master plan in 1933 when the Humanist Manifesto 1 was written. This master plan is repeated and summarized in the January-February issue of the Humanist magazine. I quote, "I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will become ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach, regardless of the educational level, preschool, daycare, or large state university. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism." Unquote. The sobering fact is that the humanist plan is to brainwash our children right in the public school classroom. The humanists have gained a great deal of control in the past 50 years, and now they are becoming very bold and stating their intentions in very plain language. Humanistic principles have infiltrated into the schools through many teachers and textbooks over the years. Now many new programs are being installed into the schools to change the values and beliefs of our children and to alienate them from their parents and cause rebellion in the home. The plan was to spread humanism beginning with John Dewey to his disciples who became teachers at colleges. The teacher colleges then graduate humanistic teachers, which then causes the educational establishment to become humanistic. The result of this, of course, is that the public schools graduate students with humanistic philosophies. These people then take jobs in the media, education, government, and law. These bombard society with humanistic philosophies. Today, humanism is everywhere. God is being pushed out, and the principles of humanism are being moved right in His place. The process starts with our preschool children. Have you watched the cartoons your children are watching? Are you familiar with the phrase, "The Force be with you"? Even small children can be heard uttering these words. Besides discovering the Force on Star Wars, children are exposed to cartoons which depict the so-called forces of good and evil. Why not sit down and watch some of these modern cartoons? They aren't the same funny cartoons we watched. Instead, children view someone who is the master of the universe. God is the one and only master of the universe. Satan comes to us disguised as an angel of light. Now he has easy access to the minds of our children if we allow them to watch these cartoons day after day. They can even purchase toy images of the Master. The New Age Force attempts to imitate the true God. The Force is claiming to be omniscient, all-knowing, self-existent or not created, and omnipresent everywhere at once. These are terms which can only be correctly applied to the God of the Bible. After the little children are programmed to at least consider the powers of the Force, it is easy for them to accept the principles they will be taught in school. Here is what humanist educators are saying about your children. I quote, "Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward our parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all of these sick children well by creating the international children of the future." Unquote. The humanistic philosophies are infiltrating our educational processes to an alarming extent. Many students, not being fully aware of the real identity of humanism with its subtle presentations, are led to accept the materialistic philosophies as a tenet of education. So many of the textbooks of the public schools are poisoned with humanistic theories and principles. How about the humanistic idea of man from a monkey? Textbook quote, "Infants can grasp an object such as a finger so strongly that they can be lifted into the air. We suspect this reflex is left over from an earlier stage in human evolution, when babies had to cling to their ape-like mothers' coats while mothers were climbing or searching for food." Another quote, "Man is, without question, the most outstanding product of evolution. In a sense, human evolution has been in process since the first stirrings of life on Earth. Humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. Humanism also believes in situation ethics, which basically means that there is exceptions to all moral laws. An example of this is noted from this quote from one of the textbooks used in schools. There are exceptions to almost all moral laws, depending on the situation. What is wrong in one instance may be right in another. But most children learn that it's wrong to lie. But later they may learn that it's tactless, if not actually wrong, not to lie under certain circumstances. Unquote. What do the textbooks teach the children concerning sexual freedom? The following quote is taken from a psychology book used in the public schools. There are some who adopt more permissive standards for themselves and others. They propose conditions outside of marriage under which they feel that sexual relations should be permitted. The particular patterns of behavior that one accepts for himself is a decision that adults must make. The Humanist Manifesto 2 states, "In the area of sexuality, we believe that intolerant attitudes, often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized. While we do not approve of exploitative, denigrating forms of sexual expression, neither do we wish to prohibit, by law or social sanction, sexual behavior between consenting adults." There are scores of other examples I could quote from textbooks that our children are learning from, but time will not permit. The textbooks are bad enough, but I am especially concerned about the special humanistic programs that have evolved into the school curriculum in recent years. The foundation of these programs is called Values Clarification. Values Clarification is designed to change the values and morals of the children of the world. These programs are disguised under such names as critical thinking, creative thinking, sex education, behavior modification, quest, moral reasoning, drug education, death education, and many others. These programs teach the children that there are no right or wrongs, that they should make their own decisions without consulting their parents. If sex, drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, stealing, or any other act that they wish to do is right for them, then there is nothing wrong with it. Since there is no God, heaven, or hell, it doesn't matter. Children are taught that they can't trust their parents and should not confide in them, since they won't understand. The children are shown sexually explicit films as early as third and fourth grade, and taught they should be using some form of birth control as early as fifth grade. Many schools are supplying birth control without the knowledge of the parents. They are taught that sex is fine if it appeals to them. They are also taught that abortion is just another form of birth control. Other programs are used to teach the children that our only hope is a one-world government. The tactics used for this are scare tactics. A program called Choices teaches the children that a nuclear war is imminent and that the only way to prevent it is to succumb to a one-world government. They then go into detail to show them the effects of a nuclear war on the world. This program is for students aged 10 to 14, because this is the optimal age at which to form a child's worldview. The communists have said for years that they would take over the United States without ever firing a shot. They are doing it by slowly gaining control of our children's mind with programs such as these. Other programs have the children deciding which members of their family must die in a lifeboat situation. Still others make them make their own caskets out of shoeboxes and write what they want on their headstones. Then there are the programs that have them write their own suicide notes, teaching them that suicide is fine if it is right for them. In general, these programs teach our children that there are no absolutes, no right or wrong. They have nothing solid to build their lives on, no foundation. This leaves the children feeling very lost and helpless. Then, when they instill the helpless feeling with the threat of nuclear war, it is no wonder there is an epidemic of teenage suicides. These young adults feel there is no hope in the world for them. You and I can make a big difference. We can put our homes, our church, and our country back in order. But it will take commitment and aggressive action. We have an advantage because we have the Lord on our side. And with His leadership and our willingness, all things are possible. God has promised to raise up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. You are a vital part of that standard when you allow the word and power of Christ to work in and through your life. Now is the time for every man to dedicate himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the following commitments. 1. I will assume the primary responsibility of teaching my children basic principles, godly character, scriptural convictions, wise standards, and practical skills. I will accept responsibility for the spiritual direction of the members of my family by being an example of the spiritual maturity that I desire to see in them. 3. I will rearrange my priorities in order to meet the needs of my wife and children. 4. I will apply God's principles of finance so that my family and I can experience financial freedom. 5. I will maintain open communication with my parents and parents-in-law and provide opportunities for them to reinforce our teaching of the children. 6. I will engraft Romans chapter 6 and 8 into my soul, meditate on it as I go to sleep at night, and instantly use it to identify with Christ's victory and resurrection power whenever I am tempted. 7. I will learn to recognize the basic needs of my wife and avoid those things which will damage the spirit of our marriage. 8. I will maintain communication with each of my children and make sure that each one has adequate training and counsel for the decisions which they will be called upon to make. You have only one chance to raise your children. Their well-being is in your hands. There are no second chances. Many, including myself, have taken their children out of the public schools and are teaching them at home. I highly recommend this, as it draws the family close together, and you know and are responsible for what your children are learning. You and I, as Christians, fighting in God's army, can defeat Satan and humanism. Let us all take courage, put on our armor, and begin the battle. With God, we will win the final victory. I quote Romans 8:38-39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Thank you for listening to and considering this two-part discourse on Satan and humanism. It is not a pleasant subject, but it is imperative for us to think seriously about it. Some good has been done by concerned citizens. Laws have been passed in some places to remove humanistic material from the schools. You can make a difference in your area. There is a lot of material available on the subject of humanism. If you want to learn more of this destructive work of Satan, call or write me, and I will be happy to supply you with an address where you can order more information. My phone number and address is at the end of this booklet. You and I can defeat Satan if we take action. May the power of Christ ever reign in your life. Thank you.